Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Fall We Fell by Victoria Denault, narrated by Elizabeth Russell and Ash Beverly. Prologue. Tara. Aspen grabs my hand and pulls me into the center of the dank basement where all the other girls are dancing. The boys are all huddled up in clusters around the wood-paneled walls. Some stare at the girls. Some stare at the disco ball Aspen bought from the dollar store and hung from a water pipe in the center of the room. Some stare at their feet. None of them are staring at me, though. Except my brother Logan. I glare back and he laughs as he does this stupid little twitch thing, like he's having convulsions, and I know it's his impression of my dancing. He's mocking me, which isn't surprising. He's been such a dick lately. I don't know why. Mom says it's a phase because he's a teenager. But I'm 14 and I'm not a dick. And his twin brother Finn isn't either. My oldest brother Declan is 17 and he's not a dick. I don't think. He barely leaves his room lately, so I don't really know. I'm actually really surprised he's here. After all, he's older than the party's host, Aspen's older brother, Abbott Barlow. But they are both on the varsity track team at school, so I guess they're friends.
Isn't this the best co-ed party ever?
Aspen says into my ear over the blaring music. She's dancing her cheerleader ass off, swinging and swaying, and I'm barely moving now because of Logan, and to be honest, because my legs are achy and stiff. I have a low-grade temperature I'm ignoring, too, so the basement feels extra hot and sweaty to me. I yank at the collar on the green sweater I'm wearing, the one I borrowed from Aspen, because she swears I look killer in it. I didn't tell her I'm feeling too warm to wear a sweater because she would tell my parents, or hers. Everyone is on high alert since I was diagnosed with lupus last month. No one really understands it, so everyone who knows is treating me like I'm some kind of alien or atomic bomb or something. Well, almost everyone. I don't even really get what lupus is, but I know it basically means I'm going to feel shitty for the rest of my life, like I have for the last year. And I feel like a freak show.
It's the only co-ed party I've ever been to, I remind Aspen, who grins.
It's her only one, too. Our parents are friends from church, which is how we know each other. Aspen's mom, Cynthia, who is even more hardcore religious than my mom, decided her kids weren't allowed co-ed parties until they were 16 and convinced my mom to implement the same rule. Aspen's brother, Abbott, just turned 16, so this is his inaugural co-ed party. Aspen and I were supposed to be upstairs decorating gingerbread men for the church Christmas social tomorrow, but we snuck down here when her parents went outside to shovel the elderly neighbor's driveway for her. So far, no one has ratted us out. I'm usually cool with the boundaries my parents set, but since I found out all my symptoms, the sluggishness and fevers and aches and general relentless pains, aren't ever going to really go away? I have been itching to do stuff. Stay up late, watch R-rated movies, skip school, whatever. I just want to do everything because I'm angry that I'll never feel normal again. I feel like my life has been shortchanged.
Your brothers. Oh, man.
Aspen starts fanning herself as her eyes land on Finn and then Logan before sliding over to Declan.
I wish one of them would ask me to dance when a slow song comes on.
The music stops suddenly as I'm making a gagging sound and pretending to stick my finger down my throat. Everyone gets quiet and a few people are drawn to the noises I'm making, including Finn and Logan's mutual best friend, Jake. He's staring at me with an amused smirk, and now I want to die. Abbott claps his hands, pulling everyone's focus.
Who's in for a little game?
He grabs a Santa hat that was lying next to a bowl of pretzels on the food table and holds it up.
His birthday party is Christmas-themed since his birthday is just 4 days before Christmas.
In this hat are a bunch of pieces of paper. Half of them say truth. Half say dare.
You can literally feel the tension in the room rocket, like a power surge that makes everything snap and crackle. The boys stand straighter. All the girls' eyes get wider, and some start fussing with their hair nervously. Abbott's grin widens. He's really handsome. Tall, with a thick, athletic build, blue eyes, and thick blonde hair. But for me, it's the kind of good-looking I can acknowledge, but I'm not drawn to. I like dark hair with even darker eyes, and an angular jaw, and full lips, and... Jake. Finn and Logan's best friend. He's the person I can never stop staring at. He's the guy that makes me feel like I'm caught in a riptide whenever he walks into a room. Declan rolls his eyes and makes that sound in his throat he makes when he's unimpressed, like when Dad tells him to shovel the driveway even though it's Finn's turn.
This is a lame idea, and it's not even the proper way to play the game. Rules are meant to be broken, Hawkins.
Abbott shoots back at Declan and then turns to everyone else.
You pick a piece of paper with truth or dare. You say the truthful answer to the question I give you, or you do the dare I give you, and then, and only then, you get your Secret Santa gift.
My eyes flutter over to the plastic tree in the corner with the wrapped gifts under it. Everyone was told to bring something that cost $7 or less. Aspen and I didn't bring anything, so we should probably slink away now and head back upstairs. I glance at her, and she's standing as still as a deeply rooted tree. We're not going anywhere.
I'll go first,
Finn volunteers easily because he's a daredevil.
Always has been. Good man, Finn. You are my new favorite Hawkins,
Abbott announces and holds out the hat. Finn shoves his big mitt in there and pulls out a folded piece of paper.
Dare,
he says with a happy grin. Of course he's happy. He's the kid who tobogganed solo down Demerit Hill when he was 5, hit a rock, and his little body launched from the sled, careened over the road at the bottom of the hill, and almost landed in the barely frozen lake, then immediately asked to do it again.
I dare you to spend 2 minutes in a closet with...
Abbott's icy eyes scan the room, and I am horrified to notice all the girls look excited. About being locked in a closet with my brother?
Gross. Casey.
Casey Andrews, a bubbly brunette with the highest voice I've ever heard, turns this ridiculous shade of pink that somehow makes her look more attractive. When I blush, I just look like a tomato. Casey's in Logan and Finn's class, and I think she's in love with both of them. Or maybe it's just one of them, but she can't tell them apart. She spent half the summer at our family restaurant, sitting at the counter ordering sweet tea after sweet tea just to moon over them. Now Finn walks over to her.
You game?
Her answer is to giggle, and I want to make the gagging sound again. Finn and Casey walk over to the little closet next to the bathroom. He gallantly opens the door for her. Inside, there's a vacuum cleaner and a water tank, and probably 40 spiders. I try not to shiver. I hate spiders. As soon as Finn closes the door, Abbott walks up to it and leans on it, pulling his cell phone from his back pocket. He stares at the screen.
Time starts now, kids. Make it interesting.
I try not to think of what Abbott considers interesting. He may only be 16, but I've seen him making out with girls. Like, big time. After hockey games tucked into the alcove where the payphones used to be in the corner of the arena by the public restrooms. He knows what he's doing.
Casey must be over the moon.
Aspen whispers.
What I wouldn't do to be locked in a closet with one of your brothers. Are you trying to make me puke?
I whisper back with a frown. I grab the front of my sweater and subtly move it back and forth, trying to cool off. I don't know if my fever is getting worse or it's my anxiety that's warming me. I am low-grade freaking out about the idea of playing this game. She nudges me and laughs.
Come on, there's got to be someone here you want to be locked in a closet with. Boy or girl, no judging.
My eyes flicker over to Jake, who has his head tilted to the left, talking to Logan. His voice is only a low rumble of undecipherable sounds from where I am, but it still makes my stomach flutter. He is so perfect. Aspen gasps and grabs my arm.
Do you want to get locked in a closet with Jake Grady? Shut up! I whisper back angrily and feel my face get hot. You are insane. You don't know what you're talking about. Also, he's changing his last name when he turns 18. He told Finn that the other day. He's going to be Jake Maverick.
I don't know why I've told Aspen about all my crushes so far in life, but not him. I feel like I can't tell anyone. It's like if I admit it, it will grow even deeper, and I don't know how to handle that level of infatuation. Also, I'm feeling more than a little vulnerable these days since being diagnosed with this albatross known as lupus, and I'm worried she'll disapprove. She hates my crush on Chuck on Gossip Girl. She's always trying to get me to be Team Dan. Aspen continues to stare at me, and I know this conversation is far from over.
Maverick, why? He doesn't want to be attached to Grady because of his family issues. Turns out his mom gave him the middle name Maverick after some character on a popular 80s movie about pilots or something. I don't know. Anyway, he likes it better and thinks it'll make people forget his family and his past. I explain, and I know it's insane that I know all that personal Jake information and that it rolls off my tongue like a memorized soliloquy. After all, Jake said all this to Finn while he was working as a dishwasher at my family's restaurant, and I just happened to be prepping food for the lunch rush. But I remember it better than the book I read for English class last week. What I don't tell her is that I immediately found the movie online. It's called Top Gun, and stayed up until midnight watching it on my computer that very night. The name is perfect. He's a total maverick, and I'm longing to be his Charlie. He's been arrested twice, Aspen says, not with judgment, but more like with awe.
She's always wished she was a wild child, but she's almost as tame and boring as I am.
And he's the only emaciated kid this town has ever had, I think. The two theft charges were both dropped when the store owners realized his mom had made him try and steal those smokes and those groceries, I remind Aspen, my voice a harsh whisper. And the word is emancipated. You know Jake works hard at our restaurant, and he's even talking about finishing high school by taking night classes. He really doesn't deserve the bad rep this town gives him.
Aspen's eyes get bigger, as does the shape her mouth has dropped into, and I know I'm screwed. I won't be able to deny these feelings any longer because she has this uncanny way of seeing the truth even when you don't tell it. I sigh and shrug like it's no big deal.
He's hot, and he's nice to me. Really nice. But I can't tell if it's because he feels he has to be because he's always at my house hanging out with my family, or if he's nice because he thinks I'm cool too.
And Jake is the only one who didn't look at me like I was some pathetic weirdo when he found out about the lupus. My brothers, God bless them, keep squinting their eyes and examining every move I make, trying to figure out what it is, hoping to see something that they can understand. So far, the only real outward sign I've had from lupus was a faint rash on my cheeks and the fevers. My dad is just a grumbling mess who won't talk about it, but is hugging me too tightly now. Mom cries and prays. Jake found out. I guess one of my brothers told him. And all he said was, "I heard about your illness thing. That sucks, Tara. I know you'll handle it because you're a badass, but if you need help with anything, let me know." And that was it.
No weird looks, no grumbling or avoidance or tears or stares. My crush grew even deeper that day.
He likes you, Aspen declares in a firm whisper. Your brothers aren't even that nice to you half the time, so he's not doing it for their benefit. He probably gets teased by them for being nice to you. That's how brothers work.
I want to believe her so badly. Abbott suddenly grins and swings open the closet door. It hasn't been a full 2 minutes. He's short by probably 30 seconds, and so Casey and Finn are in full-on makeout mode. Her arms are around his neck, and his arms are circling her waist, his hands both palm down on her ass. And I swear his tongue is in her mouth.
Oh my God, I really am going to barf,
I hiss and grab Aspen's arm.
Let's go. Hell no, Aspen replies. I want to turn. You'll get truth and it'll be boring because we have nothing to confess. We have no life yet, remember?
I tug at her wrist.
Please, let's go before your mom figures out we're down here.
Finn and Casey have jumped apart and emerged from the closet, both flushed. I avoid looking at Finn and focus on Casey. I'm fascinated by her expression. Her eyes are glassy. Her lips are puffy and pink like she applied lip gloss to them, but she didn't. She looks euphoric. I don't think I ever understood the true definition of that word until this minute. Abbott slaps Finn on the back.
You just earned yourself a secret Santa gift, Hawkins. Pick what you want. Casey, you have to pull from the hat to get yours.
Casey tries to calm herself, taking a deep breath before she pulls a piece of paper from the hat.
Truth.
Abbott's grin gets deeper.
Easy. Are you a virgin? Abbott, come on, Declan barks. That's not cool.
Casey doesn't seem bothered, though.
Technically.
A round of oohs start to echo from around the room. Casey flushes again and bounces over to the gifts piled under the fake tree covered in horrible pink tinsel. She grabs a gift I know my brother brought, a tin of homemade caramel popcorn and a gift certificate to our restaurant. That'll come in handy next time she wants to drink sweet tea all day and stalk my brothers.
Casey, you also have to pick the next person to go,
Abbott announces. Casey doesn't even bother to look around the room. She just says my name so quick and easy, I don't even register it at first until Aspen gasps.
O-M-G!
She always says the text version of Oh My God, so her mom doesn't get angry about taking the Lord's name in vain.
Tara, Casey repeats. Let's go, girl!
The children aren't playing,
Abbott announces and waves his hand in our direction.
Yeah, no, they aren't,
Declan adds, and Finn is nodding in agreement so hard, I'm surprised he doesn't snap a vertebrae in his neck.
No one wants to be their first kiss,
Logan calls out, and people snicker.
It won't be my first kiss,
Aspen retorts, and snickers erupt.
And you're just scared you'll learn a thing or two, Hawkins?
From you?
Logan rolls his eyes.
I dare you to teach me.
Aspen turns beet red at that, and I panic. I do not want my brother making out with my best friend.
You guys are lame,
Jake announces suddenly, turning the attention to himself.
Let them play. It's not a big deal. They might pull truth, and not every dare has to involve making out.
Aspen leans right into my ear.
See, he wants you to play. He likes you.
Spurred on by my anger at my brothers for humiliating me in front of everyone and the growing confidence I have at Jake's defense of me, I march over and stick my hand in the hat and snag a piece of paper between my fingers before Abbott can yank it away. I unfold it, and panic pierces my heart as I read it. I swallow, but there's no saliva in my mouth suddenly.
Dare?
Are you unsure?
Abbott looks over my shoulder to read the paper himself.
Yep, dare. Okay, I dare you to...
I should get to pick since I just went,
Casey interrupts forcefully and turns to me.
I dare you to pick a guy and go into the closet for 1 minute.
What? Pick someone? Me? No, I stammer out. I can't pick. If I pick, then it's my choice. I'm showing everyone who I like. I won't pick. I'll die before I pick.
It can be a girl if you want, Casey shrugs. So, pick. Unless you really are a toddler like Logan said, then you can go upstairs where the adults can babysit you.
More people laugh at that than I would like. I feel humiliated and panicked and angry. I hate this girl so much suddenly. I hope she chokes on that tin of caramel popcorn she's holding. Everyone is watching me. Aspen gives me a nudge.
Make a pick, Tara. You know you want to.
Leave her alone. Tara, go upstairs,
Logan says, and he looks deadly serious. Like Dad when he's barking orders at Tom Brady from his recliner during a Pats game. Bite me, Logan, I bark and start walking towards Jake. I stop right in front of him and poke him in the chest. Hard.
You. Let's go.
The room erupts with so many whistles and oohs and ahs that Abbott actually shushes them. I walk toward the closet and pray with every fiber of my being that he is following. I'm shaking on the inside, even though I'm not on the outside. It makes no sense, but it's like my blood and guts are in an earthquake right now that no one else can feel or see. I would probably puke if I'd eaten any of the cookies, candy, and chips on the long table next to the Christmas tree. Luckily, I didn't. I fling open the door, and only then do I turn around and see. Jake is following me.
Oh my God, this is happening.
I step into the darkness of the closet before anyone can see my face explode in heat, or my arms and legs shake with nerves as that earthquake inside me starts to breach its confines. Jake hesitates for the briefest second on the threshold, but then he steps inside. Casey walks up and shuts the door, saying firmly,
60 seconds starts now. Have fun, kids.
And now darkness. And Jake. And me. Tara, Jake whispers, which is the only reason I know he's close. I can hear him crystal clear.
I'm too old to be in here with you.
No, you're not.
You're a freshman, and I'm, well, I should be a junior.
Jake was held back in seventh grade. He's also dyslexic, so school has always sucked for him, and it's why he dropped out this year. I wish he could see my face right now. I know my expression is one of adoration. Admiration. I think Jake failing a grade is not a big deal. I know he's thoughtful and kind and funny. And all of that matters more than how you do on stupid standardized tests. So what?
It matters. I mean, juniors shouldn't take advantage of freshmen.
I'm the one who holds you in here so you aren't taking advantage, I remind him.
Are you mad at me?
I blink out of confusion. My eyes adjust the slightest bit to the inky, tiny room, and I can make out a vague outline of his tall, lanky frame. He's actually less than a foot from me.
No, of course not. Why would you ask that?
Because picking me is going to make your brothers want to kill me, Jake announces. Or at the very least, stop hanging out with me. If you aren't mad at me, then why would you do this?
Because I want you to be my first kiss. My mouth is open, but the words don't come out.
Because I don't hate you.
He doesn't respond. I can almost hear the time ticking away, and nothing is happening.
Nothing.
Except all those spiders I know must be in here are probably inching closer to us. I take a step forward, and my nose bumps into his chest.
Ouch!
Are you okay?
Jake asks, and I feel his hands hit me in the stomach.
Sorry. Damn. Is there a light in here?
No light, I say in a whisper yell and gently reach forward, palms out, and I hit his chest and slide my hand slowly towards his shoulders.
Just don't make this worse.
Tara.
His voice has changed. It's deeper.
It's rougher.
He sounds older than 16 somehow. My belly becomes a butterfly sanctuary.
I can't do what Finn did with Casey. Not to you.
Oh.
I feel the belly butterflies disintegrate under the burn of humiliation as clearly as if battery acid had been poured over them. My hands that have reached his shoulders suddenly feel cold. I start to pull them away from him, but then his hands are on my hips, firm and warm, holding me right up against him. Those butterflies rebuild themselves like a Terminator.
Tara, your brothers are the closest thing to family I have. Your mom treats me like a son. No one else does that. You know that. I've never said it, but I know you know. You're the smartest person I know.
His grip tightens on my hips. No boy has ever held me like this, or at all. I tilt my head up to where his must be hovering above me.
I won't tell them. If you just kiss me once, no one has to know.
I'll know, he whispers back. You'll know.
I won't tell, I promise. You want to, don't you?
I suddenly feel like Aspen is right. I feel it right down to my soul. Jake likes me. In that way. He does. A countdown starts outside at 10.
Everyone must be doing it because it's loud.
I feel his breath on my cheek, and then he breaks me.
No, I'll never want to touch you. Like that. Can't happen.
I step away, stumbling over the vacuum and slamming into the water tank so hard it makes a gong-like noise.
Shit, you okay?
I hate you, I hiss as the door swings open. Casey scans our faces as I squint against the intruding light.
You guys didn't do anything?
Smart choice, Jake, Logan calls out happily.
Asshole.
He's gross, I say, righting myself and pushing past Jake.
It would be like kissing my brother or our family dog.
I ignore the relief on Logan, Finn, and Declan's faces and the confusion on Aspen's and head right up the stairs. I'm going to finish the gingerbread men for the Christmas social. Then I'll make one just for me, one that looks like Jake. And I'll take it outside and stomp on it with my boots until it's dust. Then I am going to go home and cry. Forever. 1. Tara. 11 years later. I have to pee. I turn away from the crowded restaurant and the front door where he's standing and make a beeline through the opening between the counter and the bar and push my way through the swinging door into the kitchen. Everyone is so busy that no one pays attention to me. I pass the cooks and the line prep team and march into the break room. I give a curt wave to the two employees in there before heading straight into the bathroom and locking myself in one of the two stalls. Then I let go of the breath I didn't know I was holding and cover my face with my hands as it heats up like a log thrown on a bonfire.
I have to pee?
I haven't seen Jake Maverick in almost 3 entire years, and that's the first thing that comes out of my mouth? Yeah, that was pure and utter genius. Ugh. I'm a semester away from being a certified trauma and addiction therapist, and that's how I act under pressure? Someone should call my school and have them kick me out. I knew Jake was coming home today. The whole damn town knew. If they didn't hear it from his excited best friends, my brothers Finn and Logan, then they saw it on the Ocean Pines News and Notes blog. Last week, they did a lengthy post on how the new lieutenant for the OP Fire Department was a returning local boy.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?